Good evening. Today is the day that God has made. Let us rejoice and be glad. It's Monday, July 29th. This is the Republic of the United States of America prayer call. I welcome you all. And God is doing such exciting, exciting things. If you are feeling challenged, then I pray that after this call you will feel the presence and the spirit and the encouragement of the Lord. I tell you, I was saying to Bruce and Linda earlier that what I see happening is an Esther moment. I see a suddenly. I see popcorn popping everywhere with God's hand moving amongst his people, inviting people to come into relationship with himself, and just seeing him put the body of Christ together in a way that I'm just like, thank you, Lord. We've waited so long for this. It's great. So I'm going to start with a word of prayer. This week, I've decided to do things a little different, and I'm going to allow the Holy Spirit to run the call. So. So for those of you who are not accustomed to what that might look like, then just trust that God has a word for us through the body of Christ here, and we'll see it unfold. So Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you for my brothers and sisters from around the country and around the world. We thank you, Lord. We bring our hearts together in consonance to lift you up, to honor you, to seek your heart in the matters that you're calling each of us to. And in this case, you're calling us to re-inhabit the Republic, to restore the principles that you've put into place for our nation. Lord, we just give you praise and glory and honor. It's not something that we can do in our own strength. We rest in you. We trust you. We look to you, and we look for your signature in everything around us, in all of the interactions we have and the circumstances that happen in our life. Help us turn our attention and our ear to hear you and to respond obediently, quickly, with joy, with a sense of expectancy that what you have for each of us is good. You desire good for us, not to harm us. You want to bless us and give a future and a hope. So I thank you, Lord. I thank you that this is such a wonderful opportunity to come together with those of like mind, those who agree, those who need a sense of a camaraderie, a sense of community, a sense of fellowship. So for those who aren't getting this in where they live, just refresh their hearts tonight, Lord. We give you praise, we give you glory, we give you honor. In the name of Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, our Lord, amen.
Amen.
Amen. All right. Let's see. Who, Lord, do you want to start with? And I'm going to start with something. You know, God's really been doing a fun thing with me in the last week or so, and that is going through the life of David. And the life of Joseph. The life of Joseph in Genesis 37 to 50. It's just such a beautiful journey of how, when God puts his hand and his stamp on your life, it doesn't matter what you go through. If we count it all joy, I mean, you just look at how the steps of his life was. So he has a dream. You know, he's like, he's right out there in front of his brothers. He's fresh. He's young. He's innocent. He's like, yeah, I had this dream and all of your sheaves were bowing down to mine. And, you know, and they start getting upset because he's a favored child. And, you know, and you just see how they treat him so bad, how here you've got the body of Israel, and so many of the brothers are just a bunch of angry, evil, holding a grudge, calculating. I mean, you know, even, anyway, it's just I see what he's born into in his family. I see what God calls his people, and you see how broken that family is. So he gets thrown in a pit, and he gets then, you know, sold into slavery, and he goes and works for a Potiphar, a place where they serve other gods, and they have nothing to do with his sense of relationship that he has with God, his sense of destiny that he has with God. And it's just, it, to me, it's so beautiful because he just does good. He just does the best he can in the circumstances that's in front of him. And God changes the slate. He changes the, what am I trying to say, when you have a palette? Yeah, an art palette. He changes it. I'm not only reading the Bible, but discussing it, reading a couple of books about it, and watching, you know, some videos on it, some movies of it, and just to see the different perspectives. So he does so good for Potiphar. And then the wife comes after him and causes all sorts of problems there, gets him thrown in jail. And it's just like, we think we have problems. You know, I think of President James Timothy Turner, and on fire. Anybody who knew him when we started this republic 14 years ago, the man gave everything, his life, his fortune, his sacred honor, to get the message out, to follow what God was telling his heart. Somebody has their microphone on. I have to ask you to mute it. It's like coming across like a lot of you have. So click your mic on mute if you would, or I'll have to mute the whole board, and I don't like to do that. Okay. So, you know, President, he's now the Attorney General for the Republic, but what he has given, he's given all of his everything. And then he gets falsely accused. He gets challenged by the alphabet soup crowd, and spends 10 years and 8 months of his life in behind bars for false, nonsensical accusations against him as a political prisoner in our country. And I look at him like Joseph. You know, he didn't complain. He ministered to people in the prison system while he was there. His health got affected while he was there. And thanks to Donald Trump and his thing that he did for prisoners while he was in the administration, he got it changed so that President Turner was released. He was released because of his health concerns. And now, bless God, he's on the mend, and God is just so faithful. So you look at that amongst us, we have folks who are a Joseph, who are faced with persecution, who are faced with challenges. But, you know, you keep your eye on the faithfulness of God, who gives your heart something. He gives you a dream, a vision, a hope. He plants something in your heart that you said, you know what, Lord, while I have breath, while I'm on this earth, I want to contribute and give into this because I believe that's what you're calling me to. So I want to encourage you with that if any of you are facing the fact that you have just been run ragged, you've been at this a long time, or whatever sphere that God has you in, and maybe you don't have a breakthrough yet, maybe you don't have that sense of your vision coming of what he put in your heart, could be 10, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60 years ago. I've got stuff that I've carried since I lived in Australia, and I'm still watching God unfold that in my life. And he's faithful. I have absolutely every confidence that he who started a good work in you and me is faithful to complete it unto the coming of Christ Jesus. Well, glory to God. That's enough for now, except to say one. I'll say one other thing. As I gave it over to the Holy Spirit this morning, a friend of mine came over. We had coffee together, and he said, let's go hiking. And he had told me last week that he wanted to hike something called the Manitou Incline. It's 2,768 railway tie steps going straight up a mountain. It is challenging at the best of times. And today we were hiking in at about 95 degrees. And the whole way we're in fellowship, the Holy Spirit's just teaching us one thing after another. And one of them was, we had no intention of starting this journey together today and going all the way to the top. This was like a practice run. We do it for later, you know. And God prompted his heart to say, well, what if today is that day? And for me, I was open to it. I'm like, I could do it, not do it, doesn't matter. You know, I wasn't attached to it. But I want to say this. We could not have made it to the top if we weren't constantly just communing with God. You know, it's like you think you're going to do it in your own strength. We didn't do it in our own strength. God guided us. God had us pray together. We prayed in tongues together. We would stop. We would encourage other people. It was just so fun to watch God make the miles pass by so quickly. And we get to the top in the end, you know, we take photos. It was great. So I just want to reiterate that God is a good God. He's got good in store for us. His plans for us are to bless us every day, not to harm us. He wants us to receive our best from him and give it out. Just be overflowing with the goodness that we are, that we can't be silent, and that the world around us is blessed by who we carry on the inside. So a brother of mine here on the call, I asked him to pray about what he would have God speak to us this evening. And so Mark Tomaszewski, the floor is now yours.
All right, wonderful. Can you hear me okay?
Very, very clearly. Thank you.
Okay, wonderful. Well, welcome, everybody. I spent a little bit of time just seeking the Lord and just saying, Lord, what do we need to hear? What do you want me to share? And I just did it last night and again this morning and this afternoon just to get in touch. And my heart as a Bible teacher, as a discipler, I want to equip people to have victory in Christ, because over the last 20-some years, my wife and I have learned how to walk in victory through challenges in every area of our life. And we have seen God do amazing things. And so what I wanted to share a little bit was a strategy that I teach people who I see are not bearing fruit for the kingdom or are defeated. And we all get there sometimes, and we have to pull ourselves up by the bootstraps and really say, okay, God, what can I do? So what I wanted to talk about was a battle plan. Because lately there's been a lot of stuff about, oh my gosh, the enemy is doing so many ugly things. And I'm sensing, just like during the outbreak of COVID, a lot of believers who are not walking in faith, they are walking in fear. So I want to talk about how to overcome that by practical application of the word. So I want to start with this. I want you to imagine that you are going into a battle. You are in the military. You're going into a battle, and your commanding officer has given you a backpack full of everything that you need, all the supplies you're going to need, and your weapons and your food and rations and everything. And I want you to imagine going into battle, and of course your enemy is big, scary looking, and has a loud voice, and he's yelling at you and stuff. Imagine you're there all alone, and all of a sudden you have to meet the enemy. And you reach for your weapons and you realize you don't know how to use them. You reach for the answers to your problems and you don't know how to fight. What would that battle outcome look like? It would be terrible. Well, would you be mad at your commanding officer who put you out there to get demolished by the enemy? Or would you be mad at your fellow soldiers who were also confused, afraid? No, I think that we would all respond in different ways. You would fail because you are not properly prepared to fight and win. Maybe you thought you wouldn't have to fight. Maybe you just thought you could just show up. Or maybe you don't want to fight. You just want to be left alone, and the enemy will tear you up. Folks, this is what I observe in the body of Christ. Most believers do not know how to fight. Wonderful, God-loving people love to serve, but who are defeated in their finances, defeated in their health, defeated in their vision, defeated in their purpose, defeated in their relationships. People that love God, but they've not been taught how to step up and be a soldier for Christ and for our country and push back the enemy. Therefore, we are defeated in many areas of our life. And for many years, Betsy and I were in that same place, and I finally got sick and tired of being sick and tired, and I started asking questions, and I got a mentor who became my first spiritual mentor for 3 years, and he basically taught me the Word of God. He said, and I just say thank God for the body of Christ and great teachers who have gone before us. And so I wanted to share a practical application to this, because we are in a battle. 1 John 5:19 says the whole world lies under the sway of the wicked one. 1 Peter 5, verses 8 and 9 says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. 2 Corinthians 4:4 says, the God of this age has blinded the minds of those who do not believe the gospel. Listen, the enemy is not going to stop attacking you. It's not fair. It's not right. It's not fun. And most of us, as the body of Christ, has hid in the church for years, leaving the fighting for someone else, like the pastors or the deacons. Thank God for those soldiers. Thank God for pastors who intervene and help us to have victories. But guess what? Now the enemy's in your camp. The enemy is in your town. The enemy is in your church. The enemy is in your family and is in your physical body. And he will not stop until you are destroyed, unless you stand on the Word of God and defeat him according to what Jesus paid for all of us. We all have let the weeds of the enemy grow up in different places, when all along we have been given the authority and the power to root out and defeat the evil. So the good news is, according to the Bible, you're already the victor. You are already healed. You are already the prosperous. You've already been given the promised land. Go take it. You are promised the victory. God's Word is full of hundreds and hundreds of tools and instructions on how to win in every area of your life. It's amazing how it's all in the Word. Everything having to do with life and godliness is in the Word. But for years, even decades for some of us, we as the body of Christ have not embraced this truth. We don't know it. Most of us don't even know how to use the Word in a battle, so we get our butts kicked by the enemy. Again, the good news is you have been given every tool and weapon you need to fight and win in every area of your life, and God gets the glory. Praise God. He wants to win. So what I like to do is find people that are struggling in any area of your life and empower them with a battle plan, a strategy on how to turn the tide on the battle. Because, again, the enemy's not going to quit. We just have to learn how to step on his head, kick his teeth in with the Word of God. You must learn how to use the owner's manual, which is the Bible, your weapon. In the parable of the sower, in Matthew 13, Jesus explains it this way. He says, he who received the seed on stony places, this is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. But when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. My interpretation is this. If you don't know how to use what God has given you, if you don't know who you are in Christ, if you don't know the tools and the word of God, then the attack of the enemy will cause you to give up or fall into unbelief or doubt, and you will be defeated. I've spent a couple of years with various people on prayer ministry at a Bible college, and I would say 9 out of 10 people don't know anything. They're just hoping and praying that somebody can give them their miracle that they need. And I was there 20-some years ago. I didn't know it either. And I had one man say to me, when I was in his prayer line, I prayed for healing because I was diagnosed with severe spinal arthritis. I was in his prayer line to be healed, and he said, why do you want to be healed? And I said, well, the obvious reasons. He said, well, give me 5 reasons why you should be healed out of the Bible. And I said, I can't do that. And he said, well, then I'm not going to pray for you. You're full of unbelief. And he walked away from me, and that made me mad. Later on that night, he said, I hope I made you so mad that you stay up tonight, you can't sleep, and you read your Bible. So, folks, I want to make this super simple. There's a battle plan. In time, here it is. In times of peace, prepare for war. In times of peace, prepare for war. Learn who you are as a child of God. Learn your rights and your privileges. If you don't know your rights as a child of God, then the enemy and the government can get you to believe a lie about yourself or your situation. So I have my battle plan. In times of peace, prepare for war. It's called this. Learn, meditate, believe, memorize, and deploy your weapon. It's really simple. Find scriptures that correspond to the battle that you're in, scriptures that tell you the promises of God. Meditate on it. Does it work with your situation? Do you believe it? His word is forever established in heaven.
And hey, Mark, can I slow you down to go through your battle plan again? What does each of the acronyms stand for?
Sure, you bet. Yeah. So in times of peace, prepare for war. The first one is learn. Learn your rights and privileges as a child of God. Learn who you are in Christ. Specific to the challenges you're having, learn and find scriptures that correspond to the battle that you're in. Learn what they are. Learn the promises of God. The second step is meditate on it, chew on it, ruminate, but research the words. Get to know it deeply. Does it apply to your situation? Next step is choose to believe it or not. His word is forever established in heaven. It's up to us to believe it. Many places it says only believe. So we have learn, meditate, believe. And the fourth step is memorize what the word says. This is called practicing using your weapon. And here's why I say it's important to memorize certain scriptures. But that way, when the enemy wakes you up in the middle of the night and attacks you with fear or worry, you don't need to call your pastor or your friend. You know how to use your own weapons. And then it's in you. It's innate. It's a part of who you are, just like your name. I can't talk you out of your name. You should know the word so well that nobody can talk you out of the word and what it says. And then the last step when you are in the battle is deploy your weapon. The weapon is the word of God. Deploy your weapon and stand fast. Speak the word out loud over your situation. Do not move off of the word, no matter what the enemy is screaming at you. This is a faith that can move mountains. I'm going to go over those a couple more times. So learn, meditate, believe, memorize, and deploy your weapon. I like to introduce Psalm 112, verses 7 and 8. This is who you are. You are a righteous person. And it says, he will not be afraid of evil tidings. His heart is steadfast, trusting in the Lord. His heart is established. He will not be afraid until he sees his desire upon his enemies. And I use it in the context of a battle. For example, this one is a very common thing. I meet lots of people that struggle with fear. So I have a simple teaching. It's just real simple. Know this. Fear is not from God. And you should resist it and fight it and kill it. 2 Timothy 1:7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and a sound mind. I help people understand what that scripture says. And then another scripture, 1 John 4:18. 1 John 4:18. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear involves torment. But he who fears has not been made perfect in love. Again, this is an example. If I'm talking to a believer who's struggling with fear, I said, well, let's analyze what the Bible says about fear and a person that has fear. So I will share those scriptures. Then I will also say, Revelation 21, verses 7 and 8. This is a powerful slap in the face. Revelation 21, 7 through 8, it says this, "He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. But the cowardly or fearful and unbelieving and the abominable murderers, sexually immoral, sorcerers, idolaters, and all liars shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire and brimstone, which is the second death." Now, hold on a second. You mean to tell me that cowardly or being in fear or unbelieving are in the same group as all those others? Well, that is what the word says. This tells me that our commanding officer, our Lord, our King, Jesus Christ, says, do not be afraid. Do not have fear. Did you know that 6 times in the New Testament we are commanded, do not fear? 12 times in the New Testament, Jesus said to his disciples, be not afraid. So you find scriptures that resonate with you and give you strength. You learn, memorize, believe, deploy your weapon, and say something like this. I used to have fear, but now I trust the Lord. The Word of God says I shall not fear, so I will trust in the Lord with all my heart and lean not to my own understanding. Proverbs 3, verses 5 and 6. Or try this verse, Isaiah 26:3. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. I would say it like this. I do not have fear because his perfect love casts out all fear. And he keeps me in perfect peace because I keep my mind stayed on him because I trust in him. So that is the process of how to take this battle plan, learn, memorize, believe, deploy your weapon, and apply it to your own personal life, no matter if it's finances or fear or physical things in your body. It does not matter what it is. The Word of God has weapons for you to deploy that will defeat the enemy. And that is, I have a couple of examples, but that's really all that I wanted to share tonight, Robert, is that it doesn't matter what it is. We as believers, it says we are to help others, help those who are weak. And how they are weak is because they don't know who they are in Christ. And even if they're physically weak, we are to help them, to embrace them and teach them the Word of God so that they can then believe in the Word and stand on the Word and defeat the enemy. One last scripture and then I'm done. Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. Joshua 1, verse 8 and 9. It says this, "This book of the law shall not depart from your mouth, but you shall meditate in it day and night, that you may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then," what is the then? That's after you're meditating day and night. "Then you will make your way prosperous, and then you will have good success. Have I not commanded you? Be strong and of good courage. Do not be afraid. Do not be dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." So that's what I wanted to share tonight. I don't know how long that took, but again, it's us discipling and teaching other people that no matter what they're going through, we have a battle plan. So that's all that I have for now. And
well. That is awesome. That is absolutely fabulous. God says something else in his word, Mark, and he says, we overcome by the word of God and our testimony. So I heard you slip in there that you have a couple of examples, a couple of testimonies. Nobody can deny our testimony. And I think that's such a good thing when you have people who, when you say the name of Jesus, they flee, you know. But the thing is, like, when you have a testimony that's undeniable, they can only go, well, I can't argue with that. It's your experience. So go ahead and share with us a couple of testimonies that you feel will bring clarity or an example of the of what you've been talking about with knowing the Word of God, applying the Word of God, meditating the Word of God, choosing to believe it, et cetera. So,
yeah.
Continue.
Okay, so a friend of mine named Steve, many years ago, I was discipling him for a few years, and we were holding Bible studies at his house, and I was teaching him the Word and teaching him to lead. And so after a few years, he was pretty strong. He just didn't want to teach, but he knew the Word, and he was having success in a lot of good things in his life and turning everything around. And he had an accident at work. We're both carpenters at the time, and he fell through some scaffolding and broke his back and his scapula and had a punctured lung, and he was laying there on the sidewalk. Went to the hospital, and his wife called me and said, Steve fell, he broke his back. And I said, what's he doing right now? And she said, well, I'm here with him. And I said, Steve? And he said, Mark, don't worry, I haven't said a thing. I'm healed in Jesus' name. I said, good, nothing comes out of your mouth till I get there. So I drove over there, and his training in times of peace, prepare for war, he was now in a full-blown battle. As the doctor said, you'll never walk again. He shattered his scapula in 7 places. Like I said, punctured his rim and broke, I don't know how many vertebrae. And so I was with him for an hour or two just reviewing, and he said, Mark, I'm fine. I'm going to be fine. I'm walking out of here. I said, yeah, you got to, because we got to go bow hunting in 4 months. And he said, the doctor said, I'll never pull my bow back again. And I looked at him and he said, that ain't true. In the name of Jesus, I will walk out of here and I will pull my bow back and I will shoot a bull this fall in 4 months. I said, praise the Lord. Sounds like the battle plan is working. And so I left, and he immediately, we were still doing Bible studies every week, and he had a clamshell on his chest for a couple months. And it was hard. He went through immediate physical therapy, kept believing, standing strong on the Word. And when he was weak, he called me. And I came over and just lovingly said, hey, not who you are. Long story short, he pulled back his bow, and he did shoot a bull in September of that year. Praise the Lord. And he's fully recovered 100% and has been since that time. So that was an example of how the battle plan does work in times of peace, prepare for war.
That's awesome. That must be such a sense of emboldening for him to have that experience, have the tutoring, and then have that experience. It's like, wow.
Yeah.
I mean, wow. There's a lot of people who would have succumbed in that process. And
right.
It's clear
and
he didn't.
I can also share it. I'm so glad he didn't either, because that inspired so many people. But I can also tell you that maybe a year or two before that, my wife and I had an experience that didn't turn out so well. I had prayed for a number of people that had cancer, and I said, I will walk you through this, and you will walk out of 100% healed if you let me meet you every day for 30 days, twice a day. And one particular couple did. The husband had, like, stomach cancer or something like that, or colon cancer. And so we met with him. He was bedridden. Started teaching him the Word. He had not been to my Bible studies before, so this was all new to him. But we prayed for symptoms, and he was getting better. He was getting better, you know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks. I don't even know how long anymore. But we started having him listening to teaching, and he started getting better and believing and seeing progress. And he was going through the chemo and everything, and what I did not know was that when I left, his wife was speaking doubt. A few, I don't know, maybe 6 or 8 weeks into it, they changed the medication on him, and his wife agreed to it. It was a different type of chemo, and it shut down his kidneys, and he died within 10 days. And that was devastating to me, because we were making progress. And so I spent a month grieving and being mad and asked the Lord, what happened? And I couldn't hear the answer for a good month because I was so mad. And he basically said, the Word works, but she was not being discipled according to the Word. And doubt and unbelief came in, and he listened to her. And so there's an opportunity to understand that even when you have the Word of God, if you listen to unbelief and doubt, that can be dangerous to your victory. Anyway, so that was, you know, we had to learn through that, that when you're discipling people, you have to disciple the whole family if you can. And we've had that happen one other time where somebody died and it turned out that the husband was unbelieving and throwing doubt as soon as I walked out the door. And, man, I learned from that lesson. That was defeat, and I don't like being defeated when Jesus paid the price. So there you go.
Yes, that's, you know, that there's a lot of complex factors. You know, you can be believing for somebody, and you look through scriptures, and Jesus healed them all. There wasn't any lost cases. You know, you don't see any cases in scripture where Jesus was not successful in healing someone. But he also responded to that prompting. I think about the woman with the issue of blood. You know, she says, if I can only touch him. She'd been paying doctors for 12 years for all of her stuff. She gave everything she had in a desire to be healed and going to all, searching for health in all the wrong places. And she just was like, I know if I can but touch his garment, then I will be healed. And Jesus was on the way to take care of somebody else's dying daughter. And he stops.
Right.
He stops. It's like the whole universe stopped for this lady because she was so convicted with her belief right. That if only I touch his garment, I'll be healed. And sometimes I think that we have, you know, we'll pray for somebody believing that they are healed, but the choices that they're making on the inside or the influences their families are having on them, you're speaking a lot of truth there. Jesus put people out of the room. Who was it? Was a little girl, Talitha or whatever? He says, everyone else get out of the room. He didn't want unbelief surrounding him when he was praying for her. So you're speaking a great word, brother. Thank you so much. That was awesome. Well, go ahead. Do you want to say one more thing? Go ahead.
No, I think that's a good stopping spot.
So I am going to do something I've never done before. Of course, hey, so anybody who wants to weigh in on this, just unmute your mics, state your name, and make a comment before we go on to the next thing.
Governor Carpenter.
You have the floor, sir.
Thank you. Thank you, Mark Tomaszewski. I appreciate your testimony and your mission. And we are so much alike, it's not surprising, that the Lord's brought us together. And, I'm privileged to know that I got a battle-hardened, man of valor, alongside me here in Colorado. I have many testimonies that can confirm, what you just said. I'll keep one to two real quick. I was cursed with having an MS, manifesting in the loss of my right eyesight for 2.5 years. And I rebuked that curse in the doctor's office when it was given to me or tried to put on me. And I stood in belief, stating boldly and honestly that God would restore my eyesight. And he did 2.5 years later, back to 20/30 vision, which led me in a whole other vision. Calling in my life, but never to say, it was many years later that my colon burst and I was in such agony, building up to that. I was praying with a brother in Christ and we prayed for hours and, finally the pain was so bad I took an oxycodone and, 6 hours later it burst and I still woke up in tremendous pain. And I waited 12 hours to go into the ER and, because of circumstances. And at the end of that journey, over several hours, finally the head doc came in. He looked at me. He said, man, he said, you look pretty good for what you've been through. I said, well, what are you talking about? He says, well, most people like you are dead. The lucky ones leave with a colostomy bag. And your colon healed itself before we could get to it. And in my mind, I thought, praise the Lord. I'll heal before these guys can go in and do any more damage. But that being the case,
praise the Lord.
All they need to do is clean me up and send me home.
Awesome.
I got quite a testimony about what happened at Church Sunday, but I won't burden people with that tonight. But I do want to read a text that I sent my pastor regarding a sermon. Pastor, I was so moved by your message that I just had to rewatch it again. What a powerful message that people have to receive. Christians, men and women of God, know who you are, know who you represent, and conduct yourself accordingly. My words.
Beautiful.
Much
right on target.
Saints.
Amen. Right on target.
May I add one more thing,
Thank
Robert?
Yeah, sure. Go ahead.
Now that my wife and I have taught divine healing for many years, this is not an easy journey. We have come up with many, many different teachings on how to help people understand. It's so new. It's so shocking. It's so different. They've never heard of it before. And there's so much doubt and unbelief. And I have compassion for that because that was me. And so people listening to this know that if you're struggling with anything, there is no guilt. There is no condemnation here. We are the body of Christ to support one another and teach each other and share testimonies. And then what was the other point I was going to make? By the way, yeah, I started praying for the sick in 2010, and I haven't been to a doctor since then or a chiropractor. I was going 5 times a week. And it just happened. No one prayed for me. As I took my eyes off of myself and believed the word so much, I started praying for the sick 2, 3, 4, 5 people a day for a year. I just walked into freedom. Praise the Lord. I yield.
May I comment?
I just want to say that we will go ahead, Jim.
I just wanted to confirm. Later in my journey through all of this, it was at the end. It was just a few years ago. And I mean, we're still growing. Don't misunderstand me. But the Lord showed me. He said, on the cross, I said, it's finished. Now, you got to understand, this is just Jim Carpenter's personal relationship with the Lord. He said, it's finished. He said, you believe, what I say, what I say? Yeah, he said, well, I meant what I meant. It's finished. It's your job to learn how to conform to the new rules of the game. And that's the rules of the kingdom. Oh, yeah.
Brother Robert.
So we're going to close. Yes, who's that?
Bruce Dietler.
Bruce Dietler.
Yeah.
Okay, go ahead, sir.
A couple of things to go along. First of all, Mark, that was excellent. Appreciate your word. I'm in process of editing next month's calendar right now, and you are going to be very encouraged by much of what is in that in relation to who we are in Christ and how to gain the victories. Follows right along with what you're teaching. Second thing is Linda and I have had some good friends here. We've been to church with a number of years, been Bible study every week for months and months and months and months. They were, basically ignorant of the Word. They came into a good knowledge of the Word, walking strongly in the Word. He developed colon cancer and continued in the Word, no negative talk coming out of either one of them or anything that they would allow into the house. It was the Word, 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 Word. And it was also more medication that would choke a cow that he was putting down into his system that totally polluted his system and took him out. So there are factors that we can control. We can stand on the word. We can refuse what the quote-unquote knowledgeable doctors who are only practicing will tell us to do. That is going to destroy our body. So there are many, many factors, as was alluded to. We lost that one, a very, very good friend of mine, because of everything he was putting in. At the same time, he was feeding on the word wholeheartedly. But at any rate, glory to God. He's rejoicing. And that's the main victory. So I'll pass it back. God bless.
Thank you. So anyone who has a prayer needs, we will reach out, allow you to reach out at the end of the call. I want to now move forward to the next segment of our prayer call, and that is our weekly news report from Bruce Deedler. I'm trusting that without my prompting, he's got Johnny on the spot, got all of the week's events summarized. And is that a yes or a no?
That was a wrong.
I was wrong. I have to hold your hand, Bruce. Okay, that's fine. So then what I've got instead, I did plan for that possibility, but I want to give you freedom to go ahead and do that on a regular basis.
Okay.
So that we have a theme of what we see in the world around us that we can pray into. So
the one thing this week, Robert, that was overarching over everything was the opening ceremony at the Olympics, which I did not watch. We have not watched any of that stuff at all. But apparently it was absolutely grotesque abomination of the Last Supper done by transsexuals, you know, whatever strange, weird things with the specific purpose of degrading Christianity. And you know, rather than building up the body of Christ. So that was
Bruce, you know, what you're bringing to the fore is the work that we're doing in the United States of America and globally to re-inhabit the Republic is we are re-inhabiting God's form of government amongst his people. And what we're seeing with this global cabal organization, corporation, is poking fun, just like absolutely desecrating the sanctity of life, the orderliness of government, this whole transgender nonsense that's been going on. Now they're trying to push it to our sports, you know? And it's so offensive. Number one, that men can run in women's sports or play in women's sports and compete on an equal platform is shameful. The fact that we don't stand up for that on a national level is shameful. And the fact that now we're seeing at this, at the Olympics, which is supposed to be, you know, I think about the Greeks and I think of how proud they were about just human physique and going out there and competing as what it used to be. Now they're making a mockery of it. It's a sign of our times. It's a sign of the opening up of the pit that we have to contend with. And I think Mark's teachings about being prepared in times of peace, we on many levels are in a time of war, a cultural war that is unprecedented, unprecedented.
Point of order.
What's
failed to come up in the public conversation is the end of that program. And at the end of that program, they did a hologram, the pale horse from the Paris Olympic ceremony in 2024, Revelation 6, 7, and 8. And when he opened the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature say, "Come." And I looked, and behold, a pale horse, and its rider's name was Death, and Hades followed him. And they were given authority over a fourth of the earth to kill with a sword, and with famine, and with pestilence, and by wild beasts of the earth. And it was the following day that Iraq launched a missile into Israel. And the Israel came out and said they were going to take Iran and make them a sandbox, if you listen to Netanyahu's speech. So that's where we are, folks, from my opinion.
Thank you. Thank you. So I am going to play a piece of music here that I think speaks to the power of the Word of God, speaks to what Mark was teaching us on, and it speaks to a recognition that we can stand on the Word of God for the name of Jesus to break every chain that we face. So I'm going to just play this, ask you to ponder it, sing with it, pray in tongues, do what God calls you to, and search what he's saying to you. Because I want very much for our time together to be a time where God speaks to us, encourages us, lifts us up, gives us a perspective that puts wind in our sail for the week ahead. So here we go. And I really don't know how to make this audio any better than coming out of my microphone, so I apologize in advance. Tell me if it at another time if it was audio quality was good or not. Making a day, singing that at the top of our lungs, and we added our own words too. A lot of fun. All right, so Mark Binder, have I given you enough time to prepare, sir?
Sir, I'm ready. All right, before I start, I just wanted to.
My volume.
I just want to tell you my definition of fear, and that is false evidence appearing real, and it's being an illusion by the enemy. And since the enemy lives in misery, and misery loves company, they want you to join them, and I refuse to do it. So false evidence appearing real. Saying God's word.
Amen.
So Robert's given me the task of reading today's calendar entry. So... that is Tammuz 23/57/84, which translates Monday, July 29th in the year of our Lord, 2024. And this is written by Ann Jackson and Caitlin Alexander, and it's called Strategic Voices. It's time to prophesy your future. In the month of June, God is releasing strategies from heaven for people's divine assignments. He is inviting people to clear the clutter in their lives and let go of things that are good, but not his best. He's bringing us into a deeper relationship with him and, from relationship, releasing revelation. It's time to prophesy your future by partnering with his word and declaring what he's doing. Make the decision to stop complaining and to use your words to declare life. And here's some heavenly strategies. All this, David said, I have in writing as a result of the Lord's hand on me, and he enabled me to understand all the details of the plan. That's 1 Chronicles 28, verse 19. So God is releasing strategies from heaven over people's lives for the divine assignments and callings. Angels on assignment handing out kingdom blueprints. These are being made available to those who are seeking him. God is giving people divine strategies and showing them the ways they can partner with heaven in order to fulfill his promises on the earth. And this is a beautiful but sacred invitation. In order to step into the fullness of God's calling on your life, not everything can come with you. You may have numbed out, avoided, or primarily sought entertainment outside of God. But when you see your heavenly assignment, those are other things lose their value. So it's time to write down what God shows you and to hold it close to your heart. Trust Him, even if what He reveals to you seems too big for you to accomplish on your own. Invite trusted people to share this vision with you and take a step of faith. Trust that God will bring the strategies you need as you move in accordance with His voice. If this is for you, God is opening your eyes to see the action steps you need to take today, even if that is simply writing down the vision. And that ends the reading. And I would add to that what Mark Tomaszewski shared and with what this prophecy talks about. You've got even more weapons in the blood of Christ. And I think that's all I have. Robert, I yield. Thank you.
That's great, Mark. Yeah, thank you. It actually is consistent with what God's been speaking to me in Genesis with the life of Joseph. So Joseph had a calling, and his calling was not only to go through all the things I started the call with about being a favored son, being treated badly by his brothers, being thrown in a pit, and rescued to be sold to as a slave, to rise up as a slave as a favor in the house of Potiphar. But then adversity came, and the wife. Now he'd not only done well out in the fields because he could read plans, and so he does really well out in the fields. And then at least according to one rendition, the architect said, you know, I don't mean to be bold, Potiphar, but I would like because you like the building I did, I would like to ask that I can buy one of your slaves. So he wanted to buy Joseph. And it turns out the Potiphar brought him into his home, and he ran his house well. And anyway, so he comes sideways with the wife. He gets thrown in jail. But God had a plan for this man, and that was he had to wait 2 years in jail. He got all sorts of opportunity to serve people in jail. But then the king had a dream. Pharaoh had a dream. And it then opens the door for Joseph to not only save the people of Egypt, but also to save God's people, his family, his lineage, as they came to spend the time of famine in the land of Goshen. So if you're having that calling on your life and you feel it, this idea of letting go of things of the past is very powerful. I have a friend of mine who recognized the season changed in his life and chose to let go of his old tools of trade and trust that God is opening new doors in front of him. And I think it's really telling of where we are in this season. Things are unraveling in the manifest world, unraveling in our social fabric very, very quickly. And God's called us to be the soldiers, the warriors, the leaders, the light and the salt in the world around us in a time of trouble. And the time of trouble was coming upon us. So then I look at this. And so, you know, Joseph saves all of his people, right? So then for the next 400 odd years, they are under bondage. So Pharaoh dies. A new guy shows up. He doesn't know about the Israelites. He's threatened by their very presence and their prosperity. And so then he starts to squeeze them. And it's kind of like what we have in America. All the freedom that we knew when some of us who were a little silver-haired recognized there was freer times in our country. And it's like there seems to be more rules, more regulations, more everything is controlled in our society now. And we believe we're still the land of the free and the home of the economic slave. You know, we've got 40%+ taxes, and our founding fathers would have said enough already a very long time ago. But we've been a bit like a frog in the hot water, a little bit more, a little bit more. We don't notice it. But it's come to the time now where we have to stand up. We have to be recognized for who we are and who we carry. And So then I look at it. So then finally, you know, Moses gets raised up. So then you got the whole, you know, let my people go, Pharaoh. And he is one obstinate, ornery son of a gun. And no matter what plagues that Moses sent his way, that God sent his way through Moses, he just hardened his heart. So much so that when it's time for God's people to come out of bondage, like America, it's time for America to come out of bondage, they start moaning and groaning. They're starting to complain miserably. What are you doing? You know, you take us out of Egypt to die in the desert. And they're just all moaning and groaning. In 40 years, you know, Moses has to put up with this. God has to put up with this from a people who couldn't let go. They couldn't shed the past. They couldn't lighten their load and trust that God was leading them onto a good future, a future with a promise and a hope to bless them and not to hurt them. So I look at that, and I look at that amongst our, you know, Mark talked about it in terms of the body of Christ, who live in all sorts of wrong understanding, or I would say tepid Christianity. And it's time. It's time for us to let our light shine, not hide it under a bushel, and be the answer in our counties, be the answer in our states, be the answer in our nation, that we don't seek conflict. We don't need to seek conflict. We simply need to stand for what Jesus has called us to as his people, as God's people. We are the branch grafted in, unless you are on this call or a Jew. I am so, so grateful. I was a branch grafted into the vine. And, you know, part of that's to stir up jealousy in my Jewish friends. Well, so be it. I want you to know I have such a very rich relationship with Jesus Christ. And in any way God directs me in the course of my day, I want to share that. So one thing we do on these calls, some of you are quite familiar with it, we take a time for communion. So I'm going to ask you to prepare the elements. Find yourself either juice or cracker or wine or whatever it is that you are called to. And I'm going to reach out here. As I said, I was going to let the Holy Spirit run here. So John Underwood, would you consider leading us in communion if I give you a few minutes to ponder that?
Sure.
All right. You'd like to do that?
Sure. In 3 minutes, I'll be ready. Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Very good. All right. Let's see. Mark Carroll, I'm going to give you an opportunity to share with us what's on your heart and any prayer requests you have or any prayer you want to speak into our call this evening.
Well, thank you, brother. Good word, good teaching, good testimony. I love how God confirms in my life. I have attended you to say that and share from that point. God's been speaking to me about, as I mentioned, you know, the Holy Spirit resurrection power that resides in each of us as children and what that means. And by Jesus' stripes, we were healed. That means we are healed. So, yes, I agree, walking in God's truth through his word and memorizing and remembering, and definitely can relate to being in a battle, as I believe most of us know and realize and see around us. So I know I'm going through some things in my family and ministry and see things going on in the world. And I'd like to share one of the things that we can avail ourselves of. Most of us know, some of us maybe not, but the armor of God. And so that's something that God put on my heart to memorize a number of years ago. And to more effectively, we definitely need the armor. So finally, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God, so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. Take the belt of truth and the breastplate of righteousness and shod your feet with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. In addition to all this, take up the shield of faith with which you can extinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one. And take the helmet of salvation, the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, and pray in the Spirit on all kinds of, with all kinds of prayers and requests with this in mind. Be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. And so I'd like to do that. Thank you, Lord God, Jesus, that you are the way and the truth and the life, that we can put you on, pick you up, walk in your truth, your word, God. Thank you, God, for the righteousness, Jesus, that comes through you. And Jehovah Shalom, your peace that we can walk in. Thank you, God, for the shield of faith, the belief in the truth of your word, with which we can extinguish all, not some, not many, but all of the flaming arrows from the evil one. And yes, God, help us to put on the helmet of salvation, which we know comes from your grace, your love, your mercy, and Jesus, your finished work on the cross. And the sword of the Spirit, God, help us to, as our brother encouraged us, as your word encourages us to have your word ready, God. God, we ask and believe, as your word says, to write it on our hearts. God, so that we can walk in it, we can use in it, we can use it, we can stand on it. So thank you, God. I just pray, God, that we would all walk with your armor on, and God, and more effectively. And I just pray blessings over my brothers and sisters. God, help us to battle effectively the war in the heavenlies, God. We know that we don't war against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms, God. But we know that we are victorious. The war is already won. God, help us to walk in the battle victorious through Jesus. And to you be all the honor and glory. In Yeshua's name I pray. Amen. And forgive me for Mark's paraphrase in there.
Forgive you for what?
Mark's paraphrase.
Oh, Mark's paraphrase.
I didn't recite 10 through 18 verbatim there. So
paraphrase.
Thank you, bro.
Comes from the heart. I'm going to take one more before we go to communion. So, Matthew Westrich, what is God saying to you, and what would you, any prayer requests, or what would you like to pray in what you've heard this evening on the call? You need to unmute yourself. Oh, actually, you just disconnected. Oh, well, that happens sometimes. All right, John, so the floor is yours, brother.
Thank you, brother. So let's go to Luke 22, verse 19. And it says, and he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. So let's give the bread to one another and take the bread now. Thank you, Lord, for your body, which was given for us, for our redemption and our healing, Lord. Then in verse 20 it says, likewise, also the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the New Testament in my blood.
which is shed for you. So, Lord, thank you for your precious blood. Thank you, Lord, that your blood was given for us to flow through our bodies to bring life and healing and strength to us, and we receive it now in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Take a cup.
Give a shout back. Hallelujah. God reigns.
Lord.
Glory to you, Lord Jesus. We thank you.
Thank you, Lord.
Thank you, Father.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, John. Do you have a prayer request or thoughts that you would like to share into the call as well?
I could share a little testimony if you'd like.
I would like.
Okay. a few months ago, maybe 6 months ago or a little more, I was having the naturopath I was going to notice something that was, he noticed something that indicated that he should give me some kind of a heart test. And so he had this microphone hooked to a computer that listened to my heart and stored the waveform. And it put and it indicated that my heart was having a harder time pumping blood into my lungs than to the rest of my body. And then he also gave me a blood test, and he found that there was an enzyme that was elevated that indicated I had heart damage, heart muscle damage. So anyway, he gave me some supplements and so on, but I got a hold of the scripture that says that God is upholding all things by the word of his power. And I just hung on to that, that the Lord was upholding my heart and the function of my heart and my whole body by the word of his power. And so, anyway, eventually, a few months later, I had another test with that microphone, and it looked good, and that blood test, and that looked good. So, thank you, Jesus.
That's awesome. That's awesome. I remember when you were going through that. So you've had a good report then.
Yeah.
Praise God.
Yeah.
Well, would you like to pray for Steve? He's not on the call anymore. To Steve Lustra. He is contending with some stuff right now. So let you speak over that and release this the authority that you have in the Word of God.
Yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord, for this privilege to proclaim your healing virtue over Steve. Thank you, Lord, that you are upholding every part of his, every function of his body by the word of your power. So, Lord, we release that power to his body right now, Lord, and thank you, Lord, for that resurrection life that lives within him by the power of the Spirit of the living God. Jesus, we praise your name. We thank you for complete healing for Steve. Jesus, we love you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord.
Praise Jesus.
I love it when you pray in tongues, brother. I love it. I just like it. My spirit sings out. It's awesome. Go, God. Well, Matthew, we're going to give you another shot here. Let's see if you can unmute this time without disconnecting and share with us what's on your heart.
Yep. Sorry about that. I actually hit the wrong button. Yeah. Father, I just, Yahweh, I just thank you for each and every person on this call. I just thank you for Tom or Mark shared and everybody, and I ask you in the head the protection of you, Yeshua, over each and every person of Psalm 91. I just thank you. Glory. Lord, I just thank you and praise that you will just bring forth a new thing in people, and new thing arising will come through in new ways. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Matthew. Do you have a song you were going to sing to us tonight?
I could actually, yeah. Good. Oh, Hashaki Hashakara Kobo Seke, Oi Shekara Katapoi. Rejoice, rejoice at the sound of his glory, his might and praise, glory and honor and praise, majestic honor and glory forever, for he is great and glorious is he. For he is one, and one to be in thee. For the kingdom of God is at last coming through, and the fruition is now, and the timing is everything.
Glory to God. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for this heart that just sings like a bird, who has free of guile, just sings to you and lets you flow through him. Bless Matthew this week, Lord. Thank you, brother. Bruce Dietler, Linda Dietler, you are the, I would like to know what's on your heart, what you'd like to share into the call. You've got 7 or 8 minutes, and I'd like you to close the call. So the floor is yours.
Well, thank you, brother. In the line of prayer requests, in communicating with our brother Wade Butler, who most of us know, he is in great need of prayer at this point in time. He has much to do for the kingdom of God, and is in great pain, needs several surgeries before he can do anything, and without going into any kind of detail on it, he needs much prayer. So I would request that you join your hearts together with me in his regard, and we just lift him before the Father and believe for the glory of God to manifest. Father, we do thank you for the power of your word, that your word is working mightily in Brother Wade's life. Father, you have set him free. You have covered his body, Father God, by your Spirit for many, many years. You have brought him through many, many different heart procedures and other wounds and devastating injuries, and he's still up and going, Father God, but he needs strength at this point in time. So, Father, we surround him with the love of Yeshua. We set our hearts in agreement for your power and your glory flowing through his body right now, from the top of his head to the soles of his feet to the tips of his toes. Every cell, tissue, organ, and organ system to come into line with the word of God and be healed. We thank you, Father, the work was completed at the cross. Yeshua has paid the price. The victory is Brother Wade's. And we set our hearts in agreement for the fulfillment of that promise. And, Father, we thank you for the glory being manifested speedily, Father. You know the time frame. You know the elements involved. You know everything about it, Lord. We ask you to pull it all together by the power of the Holy Ghost that all things would work together in his benefit for your honor and your glory, Father, that your work might go forth as you would ordain. And we thank you for that. Father, we thank you for the presence on this, your presence on this call tonight, for the teaching that's gone forth, for the good spirit of all who are involved. We thank you, Father God, that your glory is being manifested in the earth as on as in heaven, and you're working in and through the lives of your body, your saints, your ecclesia that is represented on this call. Continue to move, continue to strengthen us, Father God, by the power of your Holy Spirit, by the power of your word, Father God, that we might speak forth your word and bring forth your glory in the lives of others, Lord, to bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Most High God. So, Father, we thank you for the call tonight. We thank you for those who attended. We thank you for those who will listen to it, Lord, and for those who will receive what's on the the calendar, Father God, in the mighty name of Yeshua. And we give you the glory and praise in his precious and holy name.
And I will add this. I don't remember exactly who it was, but earlier in the month, somebody on the Elijah list said God showed them that July would be checkmate. Well, we will be in August by the time we get back on this call next Monday. So we could be seeing glorious, glorious, glorious things happening. And I say that because we need to prepare our heart. It won't be glorious for everybody and our neighbors and maybe family members will be totally devastated. And we have to be sure and confident of who we are in him and what his word says so that we can encourage them and draw them into the fullness of what God has for them. It is a glorious day. It is a glorious month, regardless of how God chooses to pull it all together. I keep saying, I'm ready, Lord, but your timing, Lord. And so, praise God, glorious things are happening, and we just praise God for victory, victory, victory in the name of Yeshua. God bless all.
Amen. Amen. I just want to interject one more thing about Brother Wade, if I may. Some of us are positioned in the battle, and the weight and the burden that we are called to carry for others is extreme. Now, God doesn't give any of us more than we can handle. I'm not trying to say that God hasn't equipped us. But Brother Wade, you know, when he transferred over this call to me, I felt a weight descend on me that I was like, whoa, look what you're carrying, brother. And he is involved in some things on a national and an international level where he is standing in the face of the devil. And he is having to navigate through spiritual warfare in a way that many of us have no clue of. So, Mark Tomaszewski, I would like you to pray into that for the armor of God, for the breaking off of the demonic and the attacks against his physical body, as I feel that that is a strong component of what he is contending with.
All right, we can do that. Father God, we come to you in the name of Jesus, and we lift up Wade to you. Father God, I'm going to declare your word over him. He is a soldier. He is mighty. He is full of the Spirit and power, and I declare that no plague shall come near his dwelling. Nothing shall come near his tent. Not only do we declare the physical healing that was prayed by our other brother, that he is healed, and we declare it in Jesus' name. We bless his body with healing right now in the name of Jesus. We also call the heavenly angels to protect him supernaturally against the attack of the enemy. He will walk through the valley of the shadow of death and fear no evil because God, Yeshua, is with him. We declare that he will feel this rise up in his spirit that will give him energy in Jesus' name, and it will give him eyes to see into the spirit world to know when to stand, when to run forward, and when to count on the Holy Spirit to guide and protect him in Jesus' name. There is no weapon formed against him shall prosper because God is with him, and he represents the kingdom of God, and every place that his foot goes shall be the kingdom of God advancing, and the kingdom of darkness shall be retreating in Jesus' name. And we stand behind him. And, Lord, we ask that you put his mind on our, or his himself on our minds. And whenever we agree that whenever we think of Wade, boom, we will pray in tongues and we will declare he is healed, he is sharp, he is able to, well able to take this land, he is well able to take this mountain in Jesus' name. Because you have equipped him, and he gives you all the praise and glory in Jesus' name. And we thank you for the victory, and we will look forward to hearing the good report in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, we have a very late arrival, Loretta Johnson. I want to welcome you to the call, but we're just about to turn the recording off. So if you would like to hear the recording and pray through it with us, that number is 667-770-1349. And it's the same participant code that you dialed in this evening. Do you have a prayer request before we close?
No, I don't. I'm on Loretta's phone.
Who's that?
This is Stephen.
Hi, Stephen.
Yeah.
Very good. Well, thank you for joining us. So come back 90 minutes earlier next week, and you'll be able to enjoy the call.
Okay. Thank you.
Okay. So I'm going to turn off the recording. God bless you all. Thank you for a wonderful call, and thank you for allowing the Holy Spirit to move amongst us.